I want to ask you this question. Are you impressed by the mighty works of God? I looked up this word, and it means to express wonder and amazement or great pleasure. It's the word wowed. When's the last time that you sat there with your mouth open and just went, wow, God, you are so good? When's the last time you've been in awe at the mighty works of God? I have seen people cry at football games. I have seen people weep over this or over that. But when is the last time you just stood there and said, wow, to God be the glory, great things you have done? What does it take to impress you? I've seen a dozen roses cause a person to weep and just about faint. I've seen a little box cause much more than that. And yet, let me ask you, dear friends, when is the last time you've been impressed and wowed by the mighty work of God? If I stop right now and ask you for testimony, could you even share with me when the last time that you just stood there in amazement and went, wow, I can't believe it. I sing about it. We hear about it. People talk about it. My roommates talk about it. This, and God, you worked in my life. Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13. Israel for a time was bowled over literally by the mighty works of God. Now think about it. God had done some wonderful miracles. He had turned the Nile River to blood, frogs, swarm of light. That's just gross, but it's true. Flies, disease of cattle, boils, crops, hail. I mean, just you name it, God did it. And Israel sat there and saw it and was incredibly wowed. They witnessed firsthand the mighty work of God. And then in Exodus 13, God keeps blowing them over. Look at verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them by the way, and at night a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. They remembered what he did, and they constantly saw God work morning and night. But then, and this is what happens in Christians, this is what happens in all of our lives. Then Pharaoh starts to attack you again. In Exodus chapter 14, look what happens in verse 4. God says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them. Look at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Sometimes we as Christians forget that in this world we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. They had seen the power of God. It had been on display. He had done these incredible things. He had sent them with gazillions of dollars of value from them. And now they're marching. All of a sudden they turn around and there's Pharaoh. And they fear because they weren't wowed. They were just, wow, this is pretty cool. But they weren't bowled over with the mighty work of God, knowing that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God can do a great work, and God is doing a great work. See the cloud? See the pillar? See the fire? But as soon as a problem comes, as soon as a situation comes in their life, they're like, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? And it's almost like that, Christian friend. It's like, what, God, have you done for me lately mentality? I say this, and I mean this sincerely. God is almost like this proverbial genie in a bottle. We just rub him off. We need something. We put him on the shelf. When life's going good, when it's going bad, we complain, rub him off again, see what he can do for us now. Rather than living in the presence of a God who does exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Is that your God who you follow? So I ask you, when is the last time you've been impressed by God? And so they're discouraged. Moses is a great leader. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians you have seen today, he shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. They have been encouraged. God has set up an awesome view of himself. He has been and is being on display for them. The angel of God is in position in Exodus 14 and verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before them, camp of Israel removed, went behind them, and the pillar went. So he is on display. The children of Israel is in their midst. Soak on that for a minute. They're about to walk into the obstacle they feared. The Red Sea, we've got the desert, we've got Pharaoh. And God says, that's what I'm going to do for you. Let's start walking in the Red Sea. And so many of us fear something that, quite honestly, for God is nothing. You know, we have this great doctrine. I went over your doctrinal statement a few days ago. I had it with me, and I copied a little bit smaller one, and I had it with me, and I was reading it. Incredible doctrinal statement. A lot of power, a lot of trust, a lot of great truths about a great God. A lot of you know them. You could recite them. Some of you Bible majors could probably even say them by heart. But what happens when the Red Sea is in front of you? What happens when Pharaoh is behind you? Is it just number one, subpoint A? Is it just some piece of paper? Or is it a display of the mighty work of God that God chooses to do for those who love him? Christianity is not a sit in our pew or in our chair and just watch. It is trusting. It is crying out. It is walking by faith. This obstacle that seemed like to them was about to literally drown and literally dry up. In Exodus 14, look at verse 29, it says this, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. Now, I don't know about you, and I mean no disrespect to this text at all. I promise you, if I would have been there, I'd have stuck my hand in the side of the wall. I'm that kind of person. Are you? I'm that kind of person that when I see God do something, you know, I've had people, they come to church, and they're like, oh, nobody ever come to church, never, ever, ever come to church. And they come to church, and I got to go down and meet them because it's a miracle. Have you ever met a miracle? Are you saved? Miracle. And you know what the exciting thing is? We see miracles all the time. We're just not wowed by it anymore. Were you wowed the day you were saved? So what happened? It's like these video games. You got to get the 5.0, the 5.0 plus XS. And then you got to get the 6.0. It's like it's got to get bigger and better. God is exploding his grace, exploding his mercy. What does it take to impress his children? Israel had saw the great work of God. And then look at verse 30 and 31 in our text. And in Exodus 14, look at what it says. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel, say it with me. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the sea. So they're here. They're watching them. They had just walked through. Pharaoh says, oh, I can do it too. And his army goes in. They're now dead. And there they are watching. And I ask you, dear friends, seeing the mighty work of God, what does it do to you? Does it encourage you to take a step of faith? I mean, Peter had to be out of his mind to get out of the boat. Who gets out of a boat in a storm? But he had seen the mighty works of God. And if Jesus said come, then he's going to go. And in that text, he's probably not even sure it's Jesus, but he's trusting. He starts walking on water. And some of us see the trials and tribulations of life and the issues of life and say, well, I can't, Lord, I can't. You're right. You can't. I can't. But for God, nothing is impossible. These verses that we know, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, you all know them. You've known them for years and years and years and years. Are they just something fun and easy to remember, or is it the truth? Is it our doctrinal statement? Is it a proclamation of our life that no good thing will he withhold to them that walk uprightly? Let me tell you something. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Is that where you live today? Or do we crack our knuckles, chew our Rolaids, and pull our hair? Listen, I don't know what a day brings forth, but I know the day maker. And the day maker is my Lord and Savior. And the day maker loves me. We have children and we love her. Actually, we have a grandchild now. I'm not going to say it's better than kids because my kids could be listening to this online or something. But it's better than kids. No. And we hold her, and you know what? We don't know what the Lord has in store for her, but you know what I expect? I expect God's grace and mercy and love. I expect the same God who has ministered to me to minister in the life of my daughter and her husband and this little child, Erica. What a blessing. Israel had seen the hand of God, and yes, at times they had forgotten. And yes, at times they had struggled. You and I struggle. But in Exodus 15, they put it all together. Are you putting it together today? I can remember a guy tell me, he said, you know, it took so long for me to get it. And I said, yeah, shame on you, but I'm glad you did. And how much better is it when we understand the mighty works of God, the fact that he is revealing himself to his children and through his children, that his children could bring honor and glory to him and be light in darkness. God is not blowing Joel over so I can have a great life, so my life will be easy, so my life will be like, oh, it's no problem. He is blowing me over with his grace and mercy so I can exalt him. And the great part about it is the more God does that, the more I honor him, the more he richly and abundantly. You see, if you don't believe me, one day, if you do not have children, your kids are going to say, thank you, Daddy, or thank you, Mommy, or your friends are going to appreciate this. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to say, nah, you don't need a single cone. You can have a triple cone. And that's the way it is. Some of us just are sleeping through our Christian walk. We're just kind of going through because this is what you do. Listen, I'm a preacher's kid. I married a preacher's kid. I was literally born in church. I mean, do you ever change the bulletin? I know to sit up, sit down, smile, pretend you're turning the pages. We've all played church. Shame on us. Till God blew me away. You talk about humbling. In Exodus 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath, what's the next word? Triumph. Go to verse 2. The Lord is my what? Go to verse 3. The Lord is a man of what? On and on. I could take this whole chapter and share with you, this is God. This is God. This is God. They are blown away. They remember what God has done. They had just seen it. And God, you are so good. We can't say it enough. They are in awe of God. And yet today in our life, we forget these Red Sea moments. Our schedules, our plans, our work, our life, our finances, our hobbies seem to get in the way. And the reason, and I wrote R before every one of these on my notes, and it's true because the problem is Joel gets in the way of my view of God. How many of us realize and think that life really is about me? We're not happy if my life is not going good well. We're not happy if it's not going the way I planned. We're not happy, and we forget that I am not here for my pleasure. You're not in school just so you can get a degree and have a great job. You've come to this institution because they believe something about God. They're training you to bring honor and glory to him. And it's not just a cool verse. Sad fact of the matter is, and you've been challenged by this, God is still doing what God has done all along. He's building his church here. We're commanded to edify, we're commanded to see souls saved. And yet we live in fear and wonder of what's going on. We're not impressed with the mighty hand of God today. We live in this part. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. We stop there. But it says, be of good what? Cheer, because I have overcome. I love the overcome. I love the Greek part of it. I love the whole thing. It's a set thing. It's done. It's finished. I love thinking about the wall as they walked, and I love thinking about the obstacles are gone. I love thinking about words like cheer, have courage, or be comforted. It's amazing to me, all across, whether I'm in Florida or here or reading things, it's amazing how Christians are so confused or distraught over Washington or over policies or over all these things. I'm like, who's in charge of this world? I haven't lost a day's sleep since anybody got elected. You know, I'm serious. I'm not even saying it to pat myself on the back. Do you think they run the world? Do you believe Jesus moves in kings today? Anybody? Yes. Do you believe that Romans says he put up this and put down this? That's our God. The fact is, we just aren't that impressed with you, God. It's probably the truth. God is proclaiming victory, and we're living over here in defeat. God is proclaiming it is done, it's finished, and it will continue in his statement. And we're living over here in the sad now and now thinking, oh, woe is me. No matter what the world does and this and that, God is on the throne. Why worry? Why fear? Why fret? I love the centurion. We don't have time, but if you write it down, Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 5, or Luke 7, I love the centurion. Here's a guy who got it, who probably wasn't next to Jesus too much. And he got it. You know what he said? Lord, I am not even worthy. You just speak and it's done. Do we have that kind of faith? I mean, I won't have you raise your hands, but how many of you are born in a Christian home? How many of you have been saved over 10 years? What happens to the Christian? The only thing this minister can think of is we're just not that impressed with God anymore. We forget that I was a sinner, deserving, not of heaven, but deserving to be punished for all eternity. But God, who is rich in mercy, while I was a sinner, reached down and touched me and saved me. And he set my feet on a solid rock. We forget that. Boy, were we excited when it happened, right? We were excited. We were pumped. We were even telling people what happened. It's called life. It's called Joel time. And because I love you, I must tell you something. Joel is learning every day of his life. He's learning this morning. I have to get out of the way and stop and exalt the Lord. That's why he's called me here. That's why he's called you here. And we need to share with people today. Let me tell you what God has done. Let me tell you what he's done in our life. Let me tell you what he's doing. Let me tell you about answered prayer. Let me tell you what he says about himself. Let me tell you what his word reveals. Let me ask you this question. Last week, who did we do that to? Do we practice that we worship a God who has overcome? Do we practice this teaching? Or do we study the Bible merely to memorize, to learn, and for history? But it truly has no effect. One day, these three boys found themselves in a place in Daniel chapter 3, and this is what they said. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Do you believe God is able today? Now, I want you to realize something. They said that probably when they were right in front of it. How many steps could they have had left? And that was so real to them. I don't know about you, but I've often wondered about those guys that threw them in. When did they burn up? You ever wonder about that? Because what did those three guys do? Jump in? Or did they die as they were throwing them in? This is what keeps me up at night. I love thinking about the Bible. I love thinking about truth. And it encourages me. And so think about it. They're burning. They said, God is able. You see, do we believe that? When our trial is this close? Peter said this, Lord, save me. He was walking on water too. How many of you say, Lord, you are able. You are all these things that I know to be about. We are here to exalt you, and I know you're able. But Lord, I struggle when I see the fires. I struggle when I see the trials. I struggle when I see these. Help you to be more real in my life than those things I can visibly see. I think that's the issue. God is not that real. He needs to be, my friend. The truth of the matter is, in this world you shall have tribulations. It's hard out there. Life is, there's no question. Unfortunately and sadly, people are being demolished as wolves in sheep clothing are doing what God said in his word they'll do. It's just sad. It just breaks the heart. But God said it's already over. I've overcome. And talk about being blown away for a moment. I just said a moment. Nebuchadnezzar was in Daniel chapter 3. How about in Philippians 3, who shall change your vile bodies that may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Sometimes I will talk to Christians and it's like they forget or they don't believe that God can move, that God can do this. They think politics is the answer and all these kind of things, and they sadly do not know my God. Because the God of the Bible, you go back to Romans, said, I'm doing it. I'm pulling the strings. We come to this moment in your life, and we recognize that God is able. And I started the sermon with, when is the last time you've been impressed with God? When is the last time you sat there and went, wow? Go to John 10 with me quickly in your Bibles. John chapter 10. There is just obviously hours and hours that we could say on this subject. I want to give you just a few of them that encourage me to no end, that I am impressed with almost every moment, that I ask forgiveness for not trusting. You know, when you walk those children through a parking lot, you hold their hand. And why do you hold their hand? Because they're little and they can't be seen by those cars that are backing up. And so you hold their hand. And the truth of the matter is, they don't want their hand to be held, do they? They fight you. But because you what? Love them, you grab it tighter. And I think, Christian friends, so many of us are running that same way away from God. You know, I don't want him to hold my hand because when he's holding my hand, I feel guilty. I can't get away with. And Jesus said, this is how much I love you. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they what? They follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I am in awe today of the relationship that God has with his children. Are you? I mean, think about it. Think about what it means to have God in a close proximity there with you, inside of you, leading you, guiding you, directing you. And then all of a sudden in life we have a moment. I don't know when you're, maybe you've already had it or maybe you will. Paul had it in Acts 27. For days and days and days and days, it looked terrible. It looked terrible. It looked terrible. And he stood up as a prisoner. I've had people say, Pastor, I can't talk. I'm not the boss, or I'm just a student, or I'm just this. He's a prisoner, and he silences the crowd. And he gets their attention, and you know what he tells them? An angel of the Lord spoke to me. When a ship is going down, do you silence the crowd? When a ship is going down and all their stuff is gone and there's no hope, there's no human hope, do you silence the crowd? Absolutely, because they need a God to know. They need to know that a God is able. He silenced the crowd and then he gives thanks. Who gives thanks? Now, I understand they were taking a little nourishment. I think he also gave thanks that he had the promise that if they listened to God, they were all going to be saved, every one of them. But you know what? A little time went through, and they were about to kill all the people. And Paul says, hey, don't you remember what I told you? When is the last time you've stood up in a crowd that really didn't want to hear it? And he said, let me tell you about a God who's able. Let me tell you what God said in his word. When your ship seems lost, when there seems to be no hope, way before I agree, do you hush the crowd? Do you stop and say, look at me, listen to me. I need to tell you about God. Does it impact our life? Does it impact how we walk? I am wowed today about the fact that God, who declares the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet, my counsel shall stand and I will do my pleasure, has Joel in a close proximity. That the Lord, and I understand the nuance of this, but the Lord is holding my hand. You see, and I ask you if you're impressed. Last year, I felt extremely guilty about something. We went to a Packer party, and everybody was painted in green and had cheese on their head. And something good would happen, and people would what? Scream. Something bad would happen, and people would blame the refs. Okay? It's just two options if you're a Packer fan. All of a sudden, it dawned on me what's wrong with Christianity. We won't stand before a world in darkness and people will wear green and cheese on their head and they don't have a problem with it. How many of us could say amen in the house of the Lord? And they're screaming at a TV that can't talk back to them. The problem is not God. The problem is God's children aren't impressed with him anymore. And that's got to change. I was watching some older story of something, and the little boy didn't want his daddy to come into class. It was Father of the Week. He didn't want his little daddy because he didn't think his little daddy was his daddy was as cool as the other little daddies, kids' daddies. And so he was embarrassed to have them. I think sometimes we are that way with God. Oh, the Packers, you can talk about that. No problem. But God, it's got to change, my friend. It needs to change. God moves in kings. He forms, he plans, he directs. He holds Satan back. He blesses us in ways that we can't even describe. He in Psalm 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And if we are not wowed by that, think about those people on the boat. They saw God answer. A viper bites them. They saw no swelling. They saw the great work of God. And here's a prisoner testifying of the grace and mercy of our Lord. Dear friends, let me ask you this in closing this morning. Are you wowed by the presence of God? Are you in awe of a great God? Do you realize that he is working and choosing to work in and through his children? Just that thought is awesome. Let me ask you, can your God stop the mouths of lions? Let me ask you, can your God make the sun stand still? I could go on and on. I don't have time. Then it begs the question, since God is on the throne, since he has accomplished victory, what are we doing to proclaim the mighty works of God? I have had to recently in my life ask God to forgive me and polish up my light. Maybe that's where you're at today. Lord, you've done some wonderful things. When I was yet a sinner, you saved me. Lord, I know my heart and you love me. I know what I did and you forgave me. And as I close today, maybe you and sitting there right now just need to say, Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you're choosing to reveal about yourself to me right now. Help me. Help me to be bold. Paul said to those in his book under inspiration, pray for boldness. And that was Paul. Maybe we need to pray for some boldness to stand up and say, let me tell you what the Lord has done. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be able to stand up and recite who you are and what you have chosen to do in and through your people. And Lord, that is awesome truth. Historical facts of what you have done in Israel there, what you are doing today in your church. But Lord, as we often say, you are still on the throne. The church today is and must continue to be a living testimony of your grace and mercy. We are seeing souls saved and lives encouraged. And we are seeing students who maybe have bills paid or are able to work and are getting the grade and parents healed and friends, whatever it is. So many neat and great things, safety. And Lord, forgive us for not maybe being as impressed as we should. Because one thing I'm learning in my life, when we are impressed by something, we proclaim it. We might put it on Facebook. We might say this about it. We're impressed by something, we do it. But Lord, help me to constantly be in a state of being impressed by your mighty works. And to faithfully, as you see fit, to stand up and say, to God be the glory. Great things you have and are able to do and will do today. In Jesus' name, amen.